Today, our story today is about Enoch. Enoch, and this is a weird one. It's one of those strange Bible stories. I mean, there's lots of strange stories in the Bible. When God works, it's often unexpected and strange. Even though we've seen him work, it's like, wow, God, that's awesome. And Enoch is a strange one. He lived several thousand years ago. He was the seventh from Adam and Eve. But because people lived so long back then, it seemed that he lived at the same time as Adam and Eve. And can you imagine that? Just saying, I'm going to pop over and visit my great 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 grandpa, who's also the first person that was ever created, right? Like it was a different time, and that must have been pretty bizarre. I don't know if he could have done that because at the time there would have been over a million people. Adam probably had over a million ancestors by then. And then by the time of Noah, a few generations after Enoch, very few people served God. So Enoch in his generation might have also been unique as someone that did walk with God. Our verses today are Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 to 6, and then we'll also pop back to Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. Enoch here is given in Hebrews, is given as an example of faith. He had faith in God, and God rewarded his faith. And an interesting fact about Enoch, he never died. The Bible says Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more, because God took him away. And you know, I enjoyed preparing this message because even though Enoch only appears in a few verses in the Bible, these are those kind of verses that you just kind of scratch the surface a bit, and whoa, there's all kinds of hidden gems, all kinds of hidden goodies in there. So we're going to do things a little bit different today. We'll look at some of these verses that talk about Enoch. We'll follow a few little digressions. We might get a bit lost. If you feel like we've gotten off track, don't fret. The message of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, it's super simple, and we'll get back to it, even if we get sidetracked. So before we read our text for today, let's pray. Heavenly Father, please open your word today. Please teach us from Enoch's life. We thank you for the faith that he had, and pray that you would call us to that kind of faith. Please speak to each of us this morning for your people, Lord. Please teach us and call us to something new. For those that don't know you, we pray that that the good news would be proclaimed and heard. And Lord, we pray that ultimately we would bring glory to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going through Hebrews, and this is the Faith Hall of Fame, as it's sometimes called. And there's these different characters who are mentioned as examples of faith. And Enoch is one where his faith was, it was almost like it was almost like back to the basics, right? It was just a faith in God, right? A reminder here that our faith starts with believing that God exists, with believing that he wants to bless us, that he wants what's best for us, and that our we're called to walk with him. So Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. All right, let's walk through this verse, starting at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. Well, that's the way to start a verse, right? Enoch, he didn't just die, he was taken away. The verse confirms that being taken away is better than dying. And this was by faith, right? As we mentioned, this section of Hebrews gives us examples of people that live by faith. And Enoch is one example. And because of his faith, he did not experience death. Have you ever seen those Left Behind movies? I tuned into one of the clips this week, and if you've seen the movie, you know that all the Christians disappear in the rapture. So there's airplanes without pilots, out of control cars, and there's just a bunch of piles of clothes kind of left all over the place. And we don't know exactly how the future rapture will occur or exactly what the end times will look like. But it seems that Enoch's disappearance in the past was an early example of what that might look like, right? You hope that he wasn't driving a chariot or whatever it was that they did in those days, and then all of a sudden he just disappeared. Hebrews 11:5, and he was not found, seems to suggest that they were looking for him, but he just disappeared. His son Methuselah, around 300 years old at the time, you might be like, hey, has anybody seen Dad around? He just disappeared. Hebrews tells us this happened because he had pleased God. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. So first he was commended or declared. It was testified that he was one who pleased God. And then second, he was taken. You see that? It wasn't that he was commended or declared as someone that pleased God at some future judgment or some future date. It was before he was taken that he was commended as one who pleased God. So Enoch avoided death because he pleased God. And then after this, we jump into verse 6, Hebrews 11, verse 6. The author of Hebrews explains what specifically was special about Enoch's faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why is that? Let's find out. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. First, check this. This verse is kind of equating pleasing God with coming to him. God is pleased to have you in his presence. With me, you can check that sentence again. And without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him, ... And then the expression anyone who comes to him, anyone who comes to God, is one that the author has used similar language earlier in Hebrews. In fact, the original author of Hebrews would probably recognize that the author here was pointing back to his earlier comments about drawing near to God. Hebrews starts with the Old Testament system of sacrifice and the tabernacle. The tabernacle, you might remember, was the tent that held God's presence. The outer tent was like the vestibule, and it was separated from the inner tent by a curtain. And then going through this curtain, you'd draw near to God. But there were all kinds of rituals required before going through, and only the high priest could go through on behalf of the people. And so Hebrews has been telling us that Jesus is the true version of this tent, which is just a picture of the real thing. So by Jesus, we draw near to God. Jesus is the bridge that connects us to God. Jesus is a man, so he can faithfully act as that mediator between us and God, and he's also God, so he can faithfully act as that mediator between God and us. And so in our verse for today, when the author says anyone who comes near to God, he's pulling all that in and saying, whoever would draw near to God through Jesus. Enoch, of course, was before Jesus was born, so his faith would look different than ours. It's like he would look forward in faith, not knowing how it would play out. That is, not knowing that Jesus is coming, but trusting God that he did have some sort of plan. Which gets us to, anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists. Well, this makes sense, doesn't it, friends? If you don't believe God exists, you're not going to draw near to him, right? Faith starts here. And anyone who comes to God must believe that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. God rewards those who seek him. With Enoch, part of the reward was that he avoided death. How God rewards each of us will be different, because each of us is different. And it makes sense that God would reward us, that God would be a rewarder of those who seek him. Maybe you believe God exists, but you think he's mean. I'm not interested in that, right? I don't want to seek God because I'm scared about what I'll find. I'm here to tell you today that God does love you. He's the rewarder of those who seek him. He's not mean. And if you don't believe that, well of course you're not gonna draw near to God. And this is true for us as believers as well. Sometimes we're scared to draw close to God or to walk with him because we think that he has lousy plans for us. And this is a faith thing. We can't see the full measure of the plans that God has for us. So don't hold back because you can't see the good plans that God has for you. Have faith. He has good plans for each one of us. Friends, God is the rewarder of those who seek him. And then the second part of this, those who seek him, it's about us. If you believe God exists and you believe he's good, then seek him. This also speaks about who God is. This is about relationship. Seek God. He's eager to reward you, but he does this through relationship with him. So we put it all together. God gave Enoch a life pass, if you will, a skip death pass. And this was possible because Enoch was identified as having pleased God. In order to please God, Enoch had to draw near to God. In order to draw near to God, Enoch had to believe that God exists. And in order to draw near to God, Enoch had to believe that God rewards those who seek him. So before we carry on there, let's talk a little bit more about Enoch in other verses in the Bible. There's a lot here in the few verses in which he shows up. Let's check some of these other verses. First, we'll zip back to Genesis 5. Genesis 5, verses 21 to 24. So chapter 5 of Genesis gives us the genealogy of from Adam to Noah. Adam being the first man, and Noah being the one that built the ark that survived the flood. Remember that story? God flooded the world and saved Noah's family and two of each animals to populate the world in this big boat, right, in the ark. And in Genesis chapter 5, including Adam and Noah, we have 10 generations. And the pattern in this chapter is this. And if you have your Bible open to Genesis 5, verse 21, or if you can see the verses up on the screen, check how the entry for Enoch differs from the pattern that is repeated as it goes through the genealogy from Adam to Noah. So the pattern is this. When so-and-so had lived this many years, he became the father of his son's name. So for Enoch, it's when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. So far, so good. Enoch's entry in this genealogy follows the pattern, same pattern that the Bible used to describe Enoch's dad, Jared, and Enoch's son, Methuselah. Next in the pattern, after he became the father of his son's name, so-and-so lived this many years and had other sons and daughters. If you're following along, you'll see that Enoch's entry doesn't say he lived this many years, but it says he walked faithfully with God. That's an awesome testimony, right? That Enoch didn't just live. No, he didn't just live. He walked faithfully with God. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. And then the pattern continues. Altogether, so-and-so lived a total of this many years, and then he died. And that pattern is kind of morbid or anticlimactic, especially when you look at how long these guys lived, right? It's like, he lived 800 years. Whoa, awesome. And then what happened? And then he died. Right? All right. But this is where Enoch's entry breaks the pattern again. In place of, and then he died, we have Enoch walked faithfully with God, and he was no more, because God took him away. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years, Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more because God took him away. You got to admit that that's bizarre. You're reading, so-and-so lived and then he died. So-and-so lived and then he died. So-and-so lived and then he died. Enoch lived and then he was no more because God took him away. It's like, if you're reading through this, it just kind of hits you. It's like, whoa, that's kind of crazy. Took him away to where, and is that all we get, right? Like, what happened to him? Yeah, that's pretty much all that we get. Next, check verse 22, Genesis 5, verse 22. And you wonder from the way that this verse is written, did Enoch start walking with God after his son was born? After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. It's been suggested that Enoch's story is one of repentance, right? God loves redeeming broken people. And at 65, maybe Enoch repents of his old life and begins walking with God, right? It's never too late in this life. And this happens sometimes. You become a dad, all of a sudden you look at life differently. It seems that during times of life change, we're more open to considering new things. You go off to college or leave home, and all of a sudden your faith has to become your own. Do I continue following Jesus? Or is that just something I did when I was living with my folks? Watch for these transitions in your friends' lives or the friends of those that you know or care about. New job, new school, new community, life change. These are the times, these are good times to talk about Jesus. It seems these are the times that we recognize we don't have everything under control. And maybe this is what happened to Enoch. So at 65, he starts walking with God, and then that continues for 300 years. That's a long time. If you still have Hebrews open handy, we're not finished in Genesis yet, but if you do have Hebrews 11 handy, you'll note that rather than walking faithfully with God, there, Enoch pleased God. And this is an interesting thing. The book of Genesis was written in the Hebrew language, but the author of Hebrews would have read the book of Genesis in the Greek language. The Greek translation he likely used is called the Septuagint. And the translators that created the Septuagint, for whatever reason, they didn't like expressions like walking with God. Maybe because Enoch wasn't literally walking with God. So instead they translated it, Enoch pleased God. And then in the book of Hebrews, then the author used the expression Enoch pleased God rather than Enoch walked with God. And then remember earlier when we were looking at Hebrews 11, we noticed that verse, pleasing God and coming to him, were connected as well. They were used to express the same thing. So pleasing God, coming to God, and walking with God, they're all linked in these verses. What's the point? That in these verses, walked faithfully with God means the same thing as pleased God. Or walking with God requires that you come to him, right? That we leave behind whatever else it is that we're holding on to, and we just walk with God. And this is important. This is important for us. What's required to please God? He just wants you to walk with him. He wants to walk with you. You don't have anything to prove. So let's continue. Some of us might have missed that all because we're like, so 300 years, right? Is that a typo? Do we really believe that? I do. I believe that these people lived that long. But it's certainly possible that we've somehow misread this passage and that they didn't live that long. I believe they did. And a plain reading of the text here suggests that yeah, back then the speed limit on life was about 1,000 years before the flood, and then after the flood it settled at about 120 years. Who knows what the world would be like before the flood, right? Maybe it did sport longer lifespans. Verse 27 in Genesis 5 tells us that Enoch's son Methuselah lived 969 years. That's the oldest recorded in the Bible. What else about Enoch? Well, Luke chapter 3 gives us Jesus' genealogy through Joseph all the way back to Adam. And Luke 3:37, there's Enoch. Jesus came through Enoch's line. And then in Jude 14, Enoch is mentioned again. And if you did want to look that one up, Jude is the last book before Revelation, just one chapter in Jude, so we only have to reference the verse numbers. So verses 14 and 15. And this is in his warning against rebelling against God. Jude turns to some writings attributed to Enoch. A big deal is first made about Enoch being seventh from Adam, that is, including Adam, Enoch is the seventh generation. Seven being significant in the Bible, right? Representing perfection or completion. And so Jude makes note of this to give Enoch a little bit more credibility. And then this quote from Enoch, the book of Enoch that Jude quotes from, it's not part of the Bible. This is a book that would have been written by Enoch, and we have copies of it today, but it is a bit of a mystery, right? How did it survive from Enoch's time? There's questions about it. But Jude quotes it, and in his quote from Enoch, Enoch's warning that God's judgment is coming. Jude is referring to that rebellion against God. So Jude 14 and 15. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. So this is what Enoch prophesied. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all of them of all the ungodly acts they have committed in their ungodliness and of all the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And so we turn here because this helps us in our understanding of Enoch a little bit. It seems that part of Enoch's role was to proclaim the truth, right? Including predicting the coming of the Lord's judgment. And that he did live with a firm belief that God did have future plans, right? And God showed some of that to him, that he had these future plans that he was working through history. And then finally, the last reference that we have to Enoch is the last potential reference to Enoch is Revelation 11. Enoch's not mentioned here, but some believe that he's one of the two witnesses that are mentioned starting in verse 3. Revelation 11 talks about these two witnesses that will appear at the end times. And because Enoch and Elijah, Elijah's story is 2 Kings 2, verse 11, Elijah was also taken up without dying. So these two were taken by God without dying. Some believe that they're these two witnesses in Revelation 11. All right, so there's the ideas, the point of this jumping all over the place with Enoch is that there is a lot here, and this is important stuff. And there's some questions, right? There's some of it that we said, hey, this is what happened, but we're not 100% sure that this is how it happened or this is what it suggests happened. We're not 100% sure. We don't know where this document comes from. And this stuff it's good to study. It's good to read. It's good to investigate. And the Holy Spirit has lots of things to teach us from Enoch's life. But it is also confusing, right? Some of Enoch's story brings up more questions than answers. There's also a whole lot more to Enoch's unfinished story than's captured in the Bible. Plus, all these things are about how Enoch lived, what happened, right? The impact of Methuselah's birth, Enoch's lifespan, taken into heaven, great ancestor of Jesus, seventh generation ever, prophecies, maybe one of these two witnesses in Revelation. And all of these things are the outcome of the faith that's described in Hebrews chapter 11. So here's the connection for us. Here's the connection for us. Just like with Enoch, there's a whole lot going on in each of our lives. Sometimes more than even we can figure out. If you love God, he is at work in mysterious ways in your life. If you're feeling overwhelmed by all this stuff, right? What am I doing here? How is God using me? What am I supposed to do? Or how about what's going on in this world, right? Earthquakes, floods, wars, rumors of wars. These times can be scary. And we can just go back and hold on to the basics. And this is the message of Hebrews 11, verses 5 to 6. Do you believe that God exists? Check. This is where our faith has to begin. Are you diligent? Are you diligently seeking God? Right? Check mark. Do you believe that he rewards those who diligently seek him? He's good. Check. Draw near to Jesus. Draw near to God. And there's only one way to draw near. That's Jesus. Check. And then continue to walk with God. That's pleasing to him. Check. Friends, this chapter of Hebrews, this is the Faith Hall of Fame. That's sometimes called. And Enoch made it in because he walked with God. And his reward here was that he evaded death. Enoch believed that God exists and that God rewards those that seek him. When things got confusing, this is the place, when things do get confusing, this is the place to restart. Do you believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him? Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Ah, friends, this is where we're pretty much done for today. But this is the message of Hebrews 11 is super simple. It's just, you know what, when we're talking about faith and throughout chapter 11, there's all these different faith people, and sometimes it's calling us to step out in faith or do different things in faith. But even though it's so obvious and so apparent, sometimes we need to be reminded of that our faith starts with believing that God exists, right? And sometimes we forget about that. Our faith starts with believing that God is good, right? And when life can get confusing, or when life gets hard, or when we're not sure how things are gonna play out, or when it seems the world is scary, whatever it is, or when you're feeling uncertain, it's like this is the basic and fundamental stuff of our faith. Just come back to this. Do you know that God exists? Do you know that he loves you? Do you know that he's got good plans for you and he wants to bless you? And he wants to walk with you. Amen. 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 So if you're walking with God, you likely won't evade death, but you will be raised from the grave. Not only that, but I suspect God will walk with you through some interesting places. Let's pray, and then we can worship him some more. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the story of Enoch, and Lord, I pray that maybe today or maybe in the future when we're going through some times where our faith might be challenged, that we would just come back to these things, that we would remember that we do believe that you exist, Lord, and that we believe and know that you are good and that you love us and you have good plans for us. Praise things in Jesus' name. Amen.